for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 25th, 2013. Jim Landry is the speaker of the service teaching on mass deliverance.
Hopefully tonight, we're going to do a mass deliverance tonight, and hopefully that you'll be able to utilize the DVD in your ministries at home, at your churches, and that it would be of some help to you. If you never had participated in a mass or a group deliverance, first of all, nothing I'm going to do is going to hurt you, but it might help you. All right? So I urge everyone to take part. If you come to the July camp, I'm going to have some teachings available that talks about the difference between mass deliverance, what we call out 5,000 demons, or deliverance where we don't call out but a couple, we stay in the grouping. We're going to talk about eschatology. In other words, we're going to study the ministry of deliverance and explain where all those things came from. I've asked a friend of mine to come to assist me as a doctor in theology, and we're going to break it down for you. So, if you got some issues about that tonight, well, just get over it, because if I teach them tomorrow, which I'm not scared to teach, I'll do it a different way. And the next day, I'll do it a different way. All right? So, I haven't taken any sides, but this is what I feel in to do tonight. Okay? The a massive group deliverance is very simple. In fact, it's going to seem very simplistic, so simple that you probably think it shouldn't even work. There's nothing complicated about or hidden about it. You need to just take it by faith. What I'm going to do is based upon Bible scriptures, but I'm not going to stop and go through them all. I'm not going to go through all of the scriptures in detail, but I am going to go through several prayer renunciations. Later, and I'll tell you, if you would go through those renunciations with me, it could set in motion things that could change your lives for the better. Now, mass or group deliverance is only a start for your daily deliverance, but it should continue for weeks. It should flow on for weeks and months from this evening, because what we're going to do is take away the legal rights and the legal grounds of the enemy. I think everybody else should be interested in getting those legal rights destroyed that the enemy had over our lives. We're also going to break a lot of curses that has been placed upon you by yourselves, by others, perhaps by and your ancestors. The facts are that you have demons, and you receive them through inheritance, through sin, through a violation of God's word, and God wants to set us free. Alright? Because you see that we as Christians, and only Christians, have the power and the authority to break every curse. And though you may not have had a very good start yourself, and I didn't have a good start, or your parents didn't have a good start. They didn't bring you up, they may not have been Christians, or godly, or in any way, and or could guide you in a godly way. You're going to have a chance tonight to break those curses and give yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren a better chance than what you had. That sounds in itself good, right? So, for your sake and for your family now, I would like for you to consider, and for those that's going to follow behind you in years to come, to take part. Now, if you've taken part in a mass or a group deliverance before, there are many people here, I'm certain in the past, in the audience, that went through a mass or group deliverance many times. But for some reason, each time that we go through a mass deliverance, it uncovers another area. As you continue to walk with Jesus, areas are uncovered, and they become areas Jesus wants you to deal with through repentance, renunciation, crucifying your flesh, and occasionally expelling the squatters in your land or casting out the demons. So tonight we're going to talk about two different areas. One is unforgiveness, and the other one is the occult. And family should go away from here blessed and helped, and the thing that deliverance will do for you is going to make you able to do things you've not been able to do in your spiritual lives. Reading and understanding God's Word will become such a blessing to you. You will be loose in areas of your lives where you have been bound. And most people don't know where some of their bondages lie until after deliverance. And then they realize they've been free in those areas. And God hates for His people to be bound. And many ministries are only concerned about the building where they meet, milking the congregation pocketbooks. God, we pray that would give us pastors that got a pastor's heart, and they want to see God's people set free. If you've got a pastor that's moving in deliverance, you need to lift them up, pray for them, because there are many that don't care. They don't have a clue what's taking place behind the scene, the demonic influences in the ministries. And some of you tonight are going to be set free, amen, in this service. And we want to be set free so that we can serve Jesus, right? And the thing that you need to understand is that this is to help you to be a better Christian, to be able to do things that you have longed to do, things that godly preachers, pastors have preached to you, things that you desire to do for God, but you tried and then you failed, and you tried and you failed. But that's all going to change tonight if you would just believe. The first area that we want to deal with tonight in this mass deliverance is unforgiveness. We need to plow down, get this this area rooted out. And you say, well, I don't have a problem with unforgiveness. I don't have unforgiveness against anyone. But you might have. And the devil may have carefully hidden this thing, buried this thing so deep because it happened a long ago and you've forgotten about it. And the devil is using these past sins, this past area of unforgiveness that hasn't been resolved, as legal grounds to attack you. So, but the Holy Spirit will root it up if you allow Him to do so tonight. I'm going to cover a lot of areas of dealing with forgiveness and bitterness, and hopefully we'll hit upon something that will bring you some deliverance. Amen? Amen. Now, you got to forgive who has hurt and disappointed you, or you will open yourself up to the demons, and the demons will have a legal ground to attack you. Demons are all around like maggots. But let me comfort you. Now that you've been learning about spiritual warfare, you've been learning about demons and learning about the devil, you are no worse now than you were before you had even learned a thing about them. And so you should be tired of the enemy defeating you and trying to defeat the church. So we're going to learn some things here tonight that's going to help us so that we can engage him in warfare and win. You must forgive those that hurt and disappointed you. Jesus taught us in two places in the gospel, in the Mortal Prayer. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I kind of like to use the E.M. Hunt commercial. When we hold unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment against people, it's kind of like we just cut off from God. So the enemy wants us cut off from God. And so he doesn't want you to see if you've got bitterness against someone or you've got unforgiveness against someone. He doesn't want you to see that. The devil wants to cut off that communication with God. And if you don't forgive, it can open up the door for the demons to invade your lives. Now, I'm certain that I'm singing to the choir tonight and that there are no one in here that has a problem with forgiveness. I'm just, you know, we should. But I still got to say it. Because if I don't say it, then I'm going to be held accountable to God for it. Now, demons, they don't normally come in the first time you get mad at somebody, though. You know, I know we've all had the confrontational issues. You might say, well, then, Pastor Jim, when do they come in? And I have to tell you, I really don't know, but I wouldn't hold the door for too long. But once he's in there, or he's been there, and God wants you to kick him out, you got to do it out. You got to do it, and you must do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And in most cases, he won't leave until you take away the legal rights, legal grounds for being there. And we're going to do that tonight also. And some of you have been hurt. You've been disappointed since you were children. Others have been disappointed by and hurt or wounded by religious leaders, by divorces and spouses, being betrayed by co-workers. I mean, that's just a list of betrayals that go on and on and on. And you say, well, I tried to forgive those rotten people. So what are you talking about forgiveness for? They ought to ask me for forgiveness. I was right, you know. So, you know, we feel so righteous sometimes. You know, we really do. We feel real righteous. But Jesus said to forgive. Jesus knew what unforgiveness would allow the enemy to do to you, to your families, if you would not forgive. But the devil knows too. So, for example, a spirit of unforgiveness will come into you if you persist in not forgiving those that have hurt or offended you. And people, they don't come in by themselves. They come in like a pack of wolves. You say, well, I'm innocent. The reason we don't want to forgive is because we have this notion that if I forgive them, somebody will think that they're right. And I'm wrong. And I'm not going to do that because I'm innocent. So we get that kind of attitude. I don't know where it comes from, but the devil, I know. So God doesn't talk about in the scriptures about the innocent party. He talks about, he just says, you forgive so that you don't get in the way that evil spirits can attack you and unforgiveness will come into you. All right, so demons like to travel in packs. They travel in groups. They don't like to be by themselves. And unforgiveness, as soon as he gets a hold of you, it will cause you to start, you know, pressing you from the inside. Let me in resentment. Let me in bitterness. They'll just come in. And you say, well, how do the demons do that? You spoke to her after what she said to me? You're supposed to be my friend? You had something to do with her knowing what she did to me? See, what happens is we expect our friends, I don't know about these little Pauline groups who get together there. We call it a prayer session night, but keep really black. You're really just burning somebody, but anyway. Not everybody do that anyway. So we expect our friends to feel what we feel. And I know what I'm talking about, and it's hard for me to have to do this kind of message here. And it's a lot of information to share. But I have worked with people and so-called deliverance and prophets and all these people, they actually manifest like this. We just finished up a conference and somebody, you know, been around for a while, was going around and people saying, you disregarded me. You don't like me. You didn't speak to me. This is serious stuff. And so the Holy Spirit was allowed, a lot of all those reports got back to me from different people just by accident. I said, oh my God, she did it to me a year before. but I'm a great prophetess of God. But they come to the conferences. I hope there ain't nobody like that here today, but if it is, you can get free. So it's, you know, as literal as I am with the literature here, trying to get this express this out, trust me, it will be effective too if you use it in your prayer meetings or mass deliverances. I mean, that's a whole lot better than watching Bill Cosby. Anyway, use a DVD on deliverance, you know. Wait a minute. All right. And so we expect our friends to feel what we feel. You still talking to him after what he did to me? And you get resentful, then you pray about it, of course, righteously. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm innocent. I'm the innocent party, oh, God. I wouldn't ask you to do anything drastic like striking him with lightning or nothing. But you think you can change him? And so, but the problem is that they're so wicked and really, you know, evil and all that, that you need to pray for them and stuff. So, then when you pray for them and God doesn't move in your time, you know, in your prayer, you say, thanks a lot. And you get mad at God. And I've seen people get mad at God. And you start getting resentful towards the Lord. And first unforgiveness, and then resentment, and then you get bitter. Next thing you're saying is, not fair, not fair. I got fired, she got a raise. She got a husband, I got a thug. Not fair, not fair. You get bitter. And see, that spirit of bitterness will come in and begin to sour. Or it just sour up, and you get people that get so bitter, and of course, you've known people like that, not you, of course, but just the person next to you. And unforgiveness and resentfulness. We having a little fun. I'll tell you what, them demons mad right now. I'm telling you. I can have a smile, but I'm talking about the sword is ready. Pow! You know, it's ready. And it's serious business. And unforgiveness and all that, resentment and bitterness come on board, and then they get all set up in a person. The person get all set up like that. They invite in, then the demons say, come on in, hurt, self-pity. And those spirits that come in, you have a pity party. And every day you feel like, you know, sorry for yourself all day long and half of the night. And that's what people hate to see you coming. Oh, Lord, here they come again, doom and gloom Sally. Oh, bitter Bill. People don't want to even be around you. Why? Because these evil spirits are affecting your whole outlook. You have become bitter, you've become ugly and hateful. And, of course, that's not all of it, people. There's some big boys that want to come on, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And but first of all, you say, well, I can't forgive them. I tried, Pastor Jim. I still remember. Somebody told me if you can still remember the hurt, then you haven't forgiven. And that's not the truth. That is wrong, people. That's wrong information. There are some hurts. There are some disappointments that's so deep that you will remember them as long as you live. When you get to heaven, it'll all be erased. But unto them, you're going to remember them, and you'll know about it. Now, there are some things that have been. I know a person that was raped several times, and a person got raped at their job, and they began to witness to them and ask them to come to the assembly to get some ministry and prayer. And a friend of mine, Dempsey, artist wife, asked her, did you tell them that you had been raped several times? And the person said, I wasn't even thinking about it that time. I mean, I was trying to get them to come to the prayer meeting, you know. So there are some things that'll be like that, but you will remember it. All right? And so, you forgive not with your emotions, but with your will. And you see, we react emotionally to hurts and disappointments, and we think we have to feel a certain way in order to forgive, and it's not true. You forgive out of your will and not out of your emotion. You simply do what Jesus says that we are to do. Now, when you make up your mind to do it and just forgive people because they need forgiving and because Jesus wants you to forgive them, then you become blessable. Then you become blessable. Well, somebody always tighten up by now. Well, Pastor Jim, you don't understand the situation. You don't know the incest, the rape, or the abuse that I had to go through. And no, you're probably right. But God does, and He's the one that gave the orders to you to forgive, not me. You got to follow the commander's orders. And if you don't forgive, then you can end up with the disease is called cancer and arthritis. You say, oh, Lord, no, those are diseases. These are spirits that go by those names. But you say that, well, what should I do? A great percentage of cancers and arthritis is rooted directly in bitterness. The Bible talks about the joinings and the joints, and that we've been fitly joined in relationship. And Jesus spent time with His disciples in relationship. And there's a pain in the joints, and arthritis pain in the joints, we look for a problem with relationship broken. And that's just a little spiritual nugget to throw in there. And so, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, even the doctors in psychology who don't know a great deal have discovered that our emotions parallel many of the diseases. And there's a correlation between the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical things. The psychiatrists and the doctors are figuring this stuff out. And, of course, we believe, we've been sharing for a number of years, that the things that you see in sight, the realm of sight, sickness, disease, manifesting in our physical bodies and minds, we look for a spiritual root. All right? And so, you must forgive. It's to your benefit to forgive. If the person is dead who hurt you and disappointed, you still have to forgive them because the hurt is still inside of you. Well, we're not forgiving them to help them out anyway. We're getting ourselves some help. And so, if they're really that bad, and you don't want to persist and be stubborn, do you, about the situation? Well, some people still tell you, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold on to this unforgiving. I'm not going to release them. I'm not going to. I've seen it. With my very eyes, I saw it. And I couldn't believe it. And I think I wrote about it in one of the books that has something about that, probably in the Judging Your Parents booklet, because it was about a parent who was an adulterer. And the girl grew up in the same neighborhood with her father's other family, and he never said nothing. And it just hurt her so bad when she found out. And the demon told me, I'm not coming out. And when I got up to talk, she said, I'm not going to deal with it. So you're going to risk what type of consequences here? Is it really worth that, going to hell and holding on to unforgiveness? Now also, when you forgive a person, if they're living, you need to ask God to bless them. And sometimes right about here, we got some resistance again. I'm not going to ask anybody to ask God to bless that. You might say, well, preacher, I was listening to you pretty much there, followed along with you there, but now, no way, no way. That old husband? Stole somebody else's husband after she left mine. That crook robbed somebody else that they took all our savings and it was cleaning up the neighborhood, cleaned us out too. And I'm not going to ask God to bless any message like that. I'm not going to ask God to bless that. You see, you don't understand what God means by blessing. If a person is lost, what is the best blessing that can come to them? Salvation. So are you so hurt or so disappointed, so angry that you don't want them to get saved? That would make you, look, pretty tacky, wouldn't it? You wouldn't even look religious. You want to be very careful. You want to look religious all the time, we got to keep up our appearance. We got to look right. So you say, well, okay, Pastor Jim, I guess what you mean, that old reprobate needs saving, so okay, bless it. No, you can't go that route with it either. You got to mean this thing from your heart. So somebody said they were hurt, disappointed, and the person claimed to be a Christian. Well, what about it? Somebody who claims to be a Christian but is away from the Lord, hurting people, there's a lot of them doing that. What's the best blessing that God can bring to them? That He reaches out and that He pulls them back to Himself. Are you so angry that you don't want them to come back to the Lord? Well, you wouldn't look so good on that either, would you? You say, well, all right, Pastor Jim, I guess I know what you mean. Okay, Lord, just bring them back, bump the head on the stump once or twice. Let them remember that trip. No, don't do that either. You don't want to do that either. So you see, the very fact you think that anyway indicates that need in your life for more deliverance. And so you leave up to all that dragging how God bring them into Him and just ask God to bring them back. But what we want to do, we want to get free and get you in a position where God can deliver you from the spirits that brought nothing to you but pain and sorrow and misery. And some of you here tonight have been really deeply hurt, deeply disappointed. And tonight, you're coming before God and sincere and honest before the Lord, and you're going to get a lot of release. And I'm believing God for you. Almost as soon as you renounce these things, it's going to let you go. It's going to have to go. And the rest of you are going to feel a great difference that's happened in your life over the next week or so. You'll feel great releases. Now, what I'm going to do, the evil spirits are ready to go. Trust me. I want to take you and lead you into a very, very brief prayer. But first you need to understand what's taking place. It's kind of like God's given us a measure of deliverance as we progress along the way. And for you farmers, or those of you that are familiar with picking red apples, from a tree, never are all of the apples ready at the same time, but you pick the ones that are ready. Then you give the tree a good little shake, and that which is ready is also going to fall, and the rest you pick at another day. Alright, so it is in deliverance. God will engineer amount of deliverance in your life by the Holy Spirit, and prior to doing this service, the Holy Spirit has brought people and places to your remembrance that hurt you, that disappointed you, or and you're going to have an opportunity to forgive them and ask for your forgiveness from in a few minutes also. Well, in a minute I'm going to pray and lead us all in a prayer of forgiveness. And it's going to be simple as that. Trust me, God will hear our prayer and He will move on our behalf. Sincerely, I want you to consider when we pray, just to close your eyes and concentrate it. Be absolutely honest with the Lord, okay? And you got to be honest with Him. You got to ask Him for deliverance and show you any unforgiveness you have. And once again, I encourage everyone to take part. Will you pray with me? Will you close your eyes? Lord, I repent. And ask you to forgive me for the sin of unforgiveness. I choose to forgive everyone that has persecuted or come against me in any way. Now, at this moment, if you could think of anyone that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your memory, this is a good time to forgive them. If in days to come, You show me others. I will quickly forgive them and bless them. I beam out forgiveness, mercy, blessings, and favor upon them, and release them from all judgment, condemnation, and bondage that I've held them in through the words of my mouth. Lord, I now ask you to forgive them and release them. I forgive them and release them. I pray to forgive myself as you've forgiven me. I release all of them into your reconciling power. There you go. Thank you for the right correct grammar. Of the cross of Calvary. Created me a clean heart and a renewed right spirit within me according to Psalms 51:10. All right, you demons of unforgiveness, come out of us. Just go in Jesus' name. Just go in Jesus' name. Every one of you, go in Jesus' name. Father, I just repent. Just having a preconceived notion that it's just going to be too long and boring out of here. And I need to reapproach this throne here of God and allow you to be magnified and glorified through tonight's message. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Another area that causes believers to be bound and opens the door to demonic activity is the occult. And I'm going to mention a few areas of the witchcraft and the occult that we need to be informed about. And we're going to take care of them tonight. Many of you present have heavy ancestral backgrounds in the occult. And some of the stuff you may have been involved in or may be involved in today. Two scripture references, one coming from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and the other one coming from Exodus, the 20th chapter, I would like to read to you. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 9, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou possess, hearken unto observable times and unto the diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God had not suffered thee so to do." And in Exodus, the 20th chapter, where God has given the commandments of God, I want to read the first 5 or 6 verses here. Let's see, first 5. And it reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow thyself to them. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy, of course, unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." God said within these passages of scriptures, thou shalt have no other gods. No idolatry. God hates idolatry. You remember, God has been very specific in his word about idolatry. Every area of the occult is hated, despised by Almighty God. He not only dislikes the occult, he hates it with a holy hatred. God calls it an abomination. He calls it spiritual adultery. It's not stuff we can just woo-woo and say, I used to be in the white witchcraft, or I used to be into this, but no big deal, now I'm into deliverance. I want you to understand the penalty here that came along with these type of practices. God hates it. Alright? And in every case, in every contact with the occult, it carries a death penalty. You need to understand that. So we can't just sweep it under the rug, talking about I covered myself with the blood. And what a lot of people don't realize is that it carried a curse in the third and fourth generations, and a generation is 40 years. That's 120 to 160 years of curses from God for just a little touch of the occult. Say, well, I never did. But if somebody in your bloodline did, you say, well, you don't have to go back that far. Well, it brings a curse from God. Now, we're going to break those curses tonight, show you how to break those curses, and once it's broken, you can continue to receive your deliverance. You see, you got to destroy Satan's legal grounds. At some point in time, all of us need to go through the mass deliverance prayers. We have a lot of first-timers here tonight. And so it takes a lot of encouragement and discipline for me to do this, trust me. Because there's so many other wonderful messages can be taught on spiritual warfare. So some of the old-timers are going to have to bear along with me. Well, so praise the Lord. That's a good word. Amen. Well, all right, then. Well, you say, I don't think I ever come in contact with the occult, Brother Jim. Well, hang on. We're going to see. I got a list we're going to go down. I think I got something that's going to rain on everybody's parade tonight, including my own, including myself. Trust me. How about the Ouija board? Millions are sold yearly. It's an ancient occult tool used to get information from the devil. You know, it's got this board here. And a lot of people play with them in college or in the party games inside the house. And you've asked them where to get its information from, it'll tell you from the devil. Yeah, it'll tell you that, you know. And you buy it over at Walmart. And so did you ever try this? He said, well, yeah. Well, you were cursed for doing that. Well, wait a minute. I was just a kid. Well, I know. I understand. But you were cursed because you were going to other gods. Alright? It is forbidden by Scripture. You were seeking information from another God, regardless if you were a child when you did that or a teenager. You see, Satan doesn't label the poison that he gives us. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit further. How about sorcery? And I'm going to deal for a few minutes on the area, one specific area of sorcery. It has a much broader meaning. And I'm going to deal with the facet of sorcery in the context of drugs. Drugs are designed to open your mind to deal with one, specifically with the interest of evil spirits. That's what the drugs are, the whole market of the drug. The devil doesn't care if you get high. He just want to bring you low. Drugs of any kind, mind-altering drugs, will do it. It's like barn doors swing wide open in the spirit. The demons say, look at this fool. He hires a kite. And then they just come on in. Because your God-built defenses are compromised. So, you remember when you smoked a joint? Well, just see how it was? Did you get high? I hope you did. Because you were cursed, your children were cursed, grandchildren were cursed, great-grandchildren were cursed. You say, where did you get this from? Well, I just told you what was written. When God gave the commandments in Exodus 20th chapter, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and it carried a 3 to 4 generational curse. And this is what you get when you got high. When you take drugs, mind-altering drugs, and you're going to other gods. And he said in these passages of scripture that he would curse you to the third and the fourth generation of them who hate him. And then you heard, well, I want to drop me a little hit of LSD. I want some acid, some mushroom tea, some cocaine, or some drugs. I know all of us that sell off of that stuff, we already been passed all that, I'm sure. I don't think nobody here is high as a kite. Anyway, I hope. Anyway. We haven't got there yet. But anyway. And so you thought about some of these other things after you smoked that joint. The next thing is, I want to go on a real good trip. So you went off on a trip. Did you have a nice trip? I hope you did. Because when you did, you were cursed. Your children were cursed. Your grandchildren were cursed. Your great-grandchildren were cursed. You say, I wish you stopped saying that. I'm trying to tell you because God is dead serious about this thing. He's dead serious about this occult business. Some of you might have been born with occult or drugs in your parental bloodline because the parents or the grandparents were addicts. or drug addicts or alcoholics, and it was unconfessed, and so you may have never did it, but they did, and it could be the hindrance that's still in your life today. So at some point in time, you need to go through this prayer where my critics might say, well, Andy, you don't need to cast out 500 demons tonight. Well, I don't do this every deliver session either. Duh. And we're going to address those critics in July. You remember when you snorted cocaine? Did you really get high? Well, I hope so, because you really paid for it, because you would curse your children, curse grandchildren, curse great-grandchildren, curse. And this is what a four-generational curse means. Then you heard about, well, I'm going to try some crank. So you got some crank, some smack, some crack, marijuana laced with formaldehyde, speed uppers, downers, THC, TPC, and a whole list of stuff, including whiskey, beer, wine, cocktails. You could even do it on vacuum. You can do it even on strong diet pills. Anything that separates your mind and your body and puts a crack in there where the devil can get in, he coming in. Anything, people. I'm serious. Some of you already look a little serious now. Things can change. Well, let's talk about witchcraft. In the church, there's a lot of this. I don't know who will get the video, so I can't say everything. I got a lot of people in our ministry teams. They be going to deliver. They manifest, too. I've seen things happen, so I don't want to say anything. They might get a taste of it. Bro, man, just hear what I did. But I just seen some roosters get intuitive. Oh, God, what happened there? They just manifested it here. They about to fight each other. But anyway, so I better be careful. We'll let that one slide for tonight. You got to catch that one straight at the local church. Witchcraft of any kind. Somebody rebuked somebody. Deliver work talking about. I believe it's okay to use white witchcraft. And boy, it was on anybody. And the air turned blue. The cussing started. So I'm going to leave it at that. Alright, anyway. I wasn't up there. But I would have got in there and tried to hug him and love him and get, calm it down. But the husband looked at him. He just walked away. He said he couldn't help her. But anyway, witchcraft of any kind. White witchcraft, black, yellow. I don't care what color they use, it's all bad. Alright? White witchcraft, we're supposed to be doing nice things to people. You want to get them healed, you try to get them some help, maybe even burn a good portion cookie candle or something, I don't know. Try to get a mate, Like, I don't know where I was. I traveled pretty much. I don't know, I was in some city. I think I was taking somebody out of town to get on the bus that needed some help, didn't have no money, needed to travel. While we were there, we went into the store. And we saw the candles in the store. It was like a Hispanic store. And one of the candles say, spiritual water, come to me. So I wonder how many people tried to get Brother Jim when he was a young man. Burn that candle. I wonder why. Maybe that's why I had all them headaches. But anyway, that's white witchcraft. We use that. And white witchcraft is kind of like Christian Science. Christian Science is neither Christian or scientific at all. It's just another occult religion, totally demonic. We say, well, I know somebody that went to Christian Science, went to gym tour, and they paid them, I'm sure. Yeah, they paid them. And they got rid of their migraine headache, went away, but in return, you don't understand. The enemy is going to exchange something about that, but it won't show up till later. They might get brain tumor, diabetes, heart failure, the kidneys. When you trade in the devil's market, what? You always lose. So watch these little people in your prayer sessions, in these prayer groups. And I'm saying New York is full of this stuff. They got a lot of Santeria up there, a lot of Orisha worship, Yoruba land doctors out of West Nigeria, and Brazilian stuff, the bump, the book, and everything else. They got to leave that alone. But anyway, and so a lot of that stuff is up there. And so a lot of people in the spiritual churches are using white witchcraft, and they don't know the difference. They just don't know the difference. And I've just recently found out some people that I've been trying to train for a few years, they didn't see nothing wrong with it either. So when you trade in the devil's market, you always lose. All you do is swap out a little demon for a big one. It doesn't show up for a while. The people there, a lot of so-called Christians practicing witchcraft, using candles, using spiritual water, all sort of extras that's not listed in the Bible that Jesus didn't use, and he didn't tell his disciples to use it. And they'll tell you in a minute, you can use this, and it works. It worked for me. God told me to work it. One time I was teaching a Bible class, periodically I teach a 14-week Derek Prince course, the foundational series. Plus we have Bible college, not my Bible college, but one of my pastors. And I have a whole, I, I, have a lot of messages to teach, but I'm serious, this was stress. I wasn't going to do this. And I told God that, man, we're going to be here for a while tonight. And so I had to kind of break into it because I had all kinds of lunches when I first started. So I'm starting to ease out now. I can see I'm just eating. I just ordered this after the work. Go ahead and do it. And but anyway, a number of things. Okay, Lord, just leave that alone. Okay. Okay, we're going to move on from that then for a second. Then we'll come back to that in a minute if y'all don't mind. But one thing I can tell you is the fact that you've got to trade only with Jesus. You can't trade with what you think, what somebody else told you, what somebody told you that it's deliverance, but it's not really deliverance because there are a lot of people in hypertherapy and a lot of other things, regression and taking you back to the womb and all that kind of stuff. And that's another teaching I have for soul ties. That's another thing. And so, so you really have to make sure that we're doing it in Jesus' name. Jesus don't need no help. We need his help. Yeah. So we have to be very careful what we're trying to merge in with the doctrines there. And we don't want to do the same things that the religious past did when they went into the nations to convert the infidels. And then the infidels converted them. So they brought in Jesus and they put a statue next to him and called it. Well, anyway. So now we got all this mixture all over Brazil, all over the Caribbean and Africa, the merging of the gods with the Catholic and all this kind of stuff. So God says it's time for truth to come forward. And so you're the disciples been called to do this. Okay, so only when you train with Jesus, you get the blessings, you get no kickbacks, no side effects. All right, you got to praise the Lord. You don't get any kickbacks from Jesus. It's just a wonderful work. Then you got black witchcraft. Well, this is one we probably know. That's the nasty stuff. Voodoo, where you stick pins in dolls. Now you can buy them at the store. It's just a little doll. You just stick the pins in. Christians just be so naive. Then all of a sudden they got crackers and stuff in their house. Tonight they think the foundation shifted there and then bought the voodoo doll. I don't even know. But anyway, we're just so naive and gullible, We just buy all that stuff hanging in the house, mistletoes and dream catchers and everything else. And the children bring it to school, you don't even have a clue what it is. All right? So y'all have a purpose. Y'all have a plan. God's got a plan here. Every one of you have been called for such a time as this. So you got voodoo where you use stick pins in the doll. You try to make people sick and die. You know how it goes. I don't care what the color is. It's all bad. Witchcraft is bad. It's like an octopus and all of its tentacles are bad. All types of witchcraft, commonly in our area. Santeria, hoodoo, voodoo, then there's a lot of Haitian witchcraft in America, lots of stuff out there, and a lot of it is, I don't have time to teach on it in this conference, how it has emerged into the New Testament church, and we got them barking in one state, and then another state, they singing music and quoting scriptures backwards and saying Jesus coming in on this type of horse and all that vineyard music, and we just think it's up because they saying miracles isn't happening. Jesus didn't say for us to look for the miracles, he said look for the fruit. And so if something's wrong, we got a bunch of Balaams around here, all around the nation, calling themselves a revival, but they Balaam. And Balaam lost his head, he had no character. And we got a lot of ministers today that don't have no kind of character. You know why? Because they ain't had no mentor. They ain't never had nobody rain on their parade, stomp them down to the ground and say, God, now I'm ready for you to walk some more. They just want to say, I'm in. Well, Jim, don't you have three doctors?
Yep.
I ain't using none of that right now. Even when I use that bad grammar, ain't. Okay. And then you got, some of you come out of farmers, you got water witching. All right, well, you think they call it witching? So if you got a well that's been wished, the water belongs to the Lord, break the curse upon the well, and thank the Lord for it, break the curse on that. You can do that. People do that. Then you got divination, fortune telling of all kinds. And by the way, the devil has changed all this, the names of the occult things, and now they call it parapsychology. And they teach it in the universities, and of course that makes it right. Well, that depends on what rules you're going by. If you're going by God's rules, then you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, and your great-grandchildren are cursed. And so, God hates it. He hasn't changed his mind because the devil changed the name. So, some of you might have family members that could charm warts off of people. Maybe you had a family member could fix that marriage. Put that red pill up under that pillow. And take care of your enemies. But that's Satan power. Alright? And so God has a plan for it. God wants us to use His word and trust Him. The Saint Cyril practitioners do it all the time. There was a movie called Santeria. They even named it Santeria. I can see the actor right now. That's about 20 years ago. It came out. And this guy really liked his lady across the apartment complex at another place. And his maid saw him looking over there, lusting and just sort of looking and admiring the lady. And so she never even told him. She went to his bedroom and started doing some food God offers and stuff like that. And the next thing I know, he was dating. And at the end of the movie, they were doing the offerings too. Okay, so now they got involved in it. So they got seduced into it. These old videos, 20, 30 years ago, I used in training people to see how the enemy works, okay? Well, nowadays you don't hardly see nothing like that. You don't need to. Now they got machine guns and Superman, Mighty Man, something else man. Nobody wants to see Jesus the man. Yeah, all this supernatural strength going on out there. I got people. Okay. Oh, I should have taught that one. I'm real lucky. Divination, you got fortune telling of all kinds, which includes automatic writing, handwriting analysis. I'm a little bit skeptical about this automatic, you know, musician too. I used to play every instrument but the reed, and I played overseas, I played here in America, and I had to learn how to play every instrument. Some things came a little bit easier, but somebody just walking here and all of a sudden just can play everything, I beg to differ. Alright, I believe there are people that can catch on quicker and with a mentor. And within weeks of time, they're able to do things and been able to move forward and to progressively grow. But just sit down one time and all of a sudden they're Beethoven? Or is it Beethoven? Something wrong with this thing. Alright, but you got automatic handwriting, you got automatic handwriting analysis. And then there are those that some of you might be familiar with, names that went into them tea leaves. Oh, yeah. Coffee grounds. Crystal, put the coffee in the pot. I like Maxwell House, by the way. And crystal balls, tarot cards, palm reading, horoscopes. What's your horoscope? I'm serious. I just said that I had to think for a second. Maybe it's a lag of about 2 seconds to remember what the world said mine was. You can get free like that. You don't have to be walking around on December 25th shaking like this because somebody says, I'm dreaming. And you all wired up with religious spirit. Can't even go in the mall and shop without bouncing around like some person in the world. You can get free enough, all that stuff is out. You enjoy your gifts and praise the Lord and not be driven by Nat King Cole singing. Okay, well, some of you think that don't mean nothing. It's, okay. Alright. The signs of the zodiac. Alright. Some of us are into Nostradamus, the deceiving demon. If you go into the stores and the convenience stores, especially the cheap stores where we send our children to go buy cigarettes, you go into the cheap stores and stuff like that, right at the counter when you get ready to check out, that's where they got all the braces and the good little charms and stuff, just enough price for that 14-year-old to buy. And you never see it. You never make it out. When you do see it, you just ignore it. Because you know why? He's a bad man of God. Ain't nothing coming to buy a house for you, so you ain't even looking. You bad. You're the man. That's what Dr. Lowe used to tell me. I said, Dr. Lowe, please, you've got to be saying that for a reason. So all these things are in the occult realm. Alright? And every one of these things that you touch, people, you come under a curse for it. And how about these preachers that can read your what's in your purse? What's in your pocketbook? They got preachers. I was at a Word of Faith a teaching. I'm going to say this would be late 80s, 87 to 89, somewhere there. And Pop Hayden used to frequent that once ministry in our city. But anyway, there was this one guy there, and I was just a young whippersnapper going, hearing about the Holy Ghost. I'm just going from church to church, you know. And I was sitting down there just like this, and I was just like that. And the man says, he started reading somebody's social security number in their church book. And I said, whoa, just like that. And he looked at me, and he said, I got some interference in here. For some reason, God just told me to leave out of there. And I just left out of there. And it wasn't long after that, God started bringing me into spiritual warfare. And, of course, it was years later when I remember what had happened there, because that was not significant to me at that time. You know? But I knew I needed to leave out of there. So if you go to a place, you think that, you know, you want to go to a prophet's conference, and the prophet is just reading pocketbooks and all that. Well, I mean, that turn you over. I'm saying you need to get free. All right, that's all done by a cult power. All right, and then there's these master prophets and these master prophetesses. And I know we like to watch them late at night. They're working in a cult power. God did not call ministers, at least not in the amount that's going forward today, just to read a person's social security number that's in their pocketbook. Okay? And there were some significant things that the prophets did in order to alert the people to repent. All right? But not the way it's going down today. I mean, this thing here is 24/7 on TV day and night, and it's just the religious revival that's going on, and they think that's God. Of course, there's a group that go around us also that meet with you and eat dinner, and by the time you can't help but just snitching on your congregation, just tell all about your prayer group. And by the time they got all the information, two nights later when they do their revival, they didn't read the mail. So when they call you up, they say you everything to you. They didn't get it from God, they got it from the preacher. The preacher already snitched out on his congregation. And you say, oh, God knew all about me. Yeah, the pastor told him all about you. So you want to get a word, get it from God. Read the word. Study the word yourself to show yourself approved unto God. Don't go after signs and wonder. And if you're going to follow those that have fruit with them in their walk. Discipline soldiers. And if they really discipline, every once in a while, they ought to cross you. So this is how we grow. We become disciplined soldiers. Some of you in the past followed Gene Dixon, Edgar Casey. You were amazed by Irene Hughes. And these people operated in witchcraft, people. What about hypnosis? You say, well, Pastor Lane, I've never been in no hypnosis. Well, you ever went to the dentist? Any dentist in here? Alright? Every dentist that I'm familiar with was trained to hypnotize when you can't take anesthesia. You can't take the chemical, you gotta do the medallion. Alright, now there are Christian dentists that have renounced this stuff. Don't get me wrong, don't think every dentist practices, but I'm telling you, it is part of their oath, part of their training, alright? So every one of y'all that sat under there, submitted to authority, and allowed that person to go in there, and of course, I haven't been knocked under in God knows how many years. I just can't believe in going under. You know what I'm saying? And so, when most people say, just give me the gas. I couldn't tell you when I had the gas. It was over 20-some years ago. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. But they don't understand me, you know? Some of you just say, God doesn't want no pain, just knock me out. Let all of them come in. We'll deal with the numbers later. Okay. So anyway, you come in contact with that stuff, you get cursed. You got to break the curses. You say, good grief, there you go again. Well, I'm not through yet. I got stuff on the list that's going to offend almost everybody. ESP. Oh, they got a lot of this in the church. Extrasensory perception. You know what I'm thinking. You know where I'm going. But you try to say the Holy Ghost is telling you this. I don't want to waste time with you fruitile stuff like that. You know where I'm going, know where I came from. I saw you in a blue shirt last night and all that kind of mess. But anyway, so there's a lot of stuff like this, this ESP that's going on. The television programs are full of it. How many of y'all watch The Mentalist? Don't hold me, don't tell me. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to judge. I don't mean that. Sorry. I would hold that question. But anyway, you might be one of those people who's born with a veil or some kind of water birth. I don't know what they call it. They come up with all kinds of silly names. I can't find it in the Word. But anyway, you say you got the gift. Okay, you got the gift. All right. Yeah, I was really good at that. Well, you're good at that. All right. So it's passed down through the bloodline, friend. Somebody had a heavy occultic background. And that's why you're really good at it, or you're really good at it right now. And you try to merge that thing in and try to use it in deliverance. It's not going to work, because tonight, everything's being uncovered. All you got to do is repeat it. God said, I'll let you go. Because you belong to Him now. And so you can't say, no one ever told me. Because I'm not giving you that good evangelist teaching and everything. Yeah, Lord. Oh, All right, we just cut it straight down the line right here. So you can't say, I've never been told. You can't never say, I've never been told. So you know if you know this, if you got this gift, that that gift is the devil. You've got to get rid of that gift tonight. And you can do that. Spiritualism. Mediums. You ever went to a seance? Say, oh no. I think they had one on TV about 25, 30 years ago. I think Bill Cosby had one on, playing with some children. And so everybody sitting around the table, you know, because you know that's what you do. We pull the children to the table and we go to the Bible in the back room and study. They can watch anything. Oh man, we don't care. But anyway, so you ever watch one on TV then if you didn't participate in the seance? Did you ever get interested in one, something like that? You know, some people have. You'd be surprised what's in here tonight. Alright? How would I not know that Bill Cosby had it on his show if I had seen it? Alright, well, for those of you that went to a seance, or your mom and daddy went to a seance, because these things follow the generation. Many people go to seances and stuff like that. They want to find out what I'm telling. Deal with that big diamond ring that nobody could find. They went down and they found out the person that's in the neighborhood that know how to work that craft and medium. Told that medium to crank it up and see if they can get Uncle Sally to come up so they can find out where that ring was. Well, that's Uncle Ned. I had Uncle Ned in my family. And find out where that shoebox was full of that money after Uncle Ned died. And we can't find that money. So we're gonna tear our old trees and everything to try to find that money. And I think I'm playing. It's money, all right, I'm telling you. That's necromancy. You're going to seek information from the dead, forbidden by Scripture, Deuteronomy 18, chapter verse 9. And several preachers in my city, specifically, I know personally, a few of them are dead now, communicated with demons because they were looking for that genie fairy treasure that go down the trail. They call it the Spanish Trail. We call them gophers and wall busters because all they did, looking for one clue after another, is tear people's houses, dig up holes in the ground. I remember asking a family one time that was coming out, I said, well, what are all these humps in your yard? I don't want to call their name. So-and-so dig out there looking for that gold. And he talked to his mother at night too, about every morning, about 3 or 4. I said, well, what's wrong with talking to his mom? She's been dead past that a long time. That's the truth. These are congregation members. Now, these people I'm talking about all dead except for the children. And so I still monitor their growth and development. They're doing pretty good. They were at the conference this year. And so y'all be thinking, well, I don't want my children to get into the liver. It's going to mess them up. Oh, boy. Well, then come, you know, just trust God. That's all I can say. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But my children are an example. And then the children that worked with us over the years and that were born there, came in at 2 years of age and all that, and going on, people, you've got to trust God.
Amen.
You got to trust God. You can even do it with the Catholic saints. Now, some of you used to pray to these saints, all right? All your parents prayed to the saints. St. Mary, St. Jude. And each one of the things, when you do that, bring it straight into the occult. The demon spirits that you're communicating with. And then some people say, well, I wonder, there's a lot of miracles surrounding these saints and demonic signs and wonders. The devil got signs and wonders, but God's got his signs and wonders too. And so we have to be very careful with a lot of this Catholic candle burning and these praying to these saints, people. Because the enemy is in the business, all right? But God is in the business too. We need to go to God. Necromancy, seeking information from the dead, is forbidden by Scripture. I read the Scripture. King Saul, we all familiar with King Saul, and his family were wiped out because he turned to necromancy, divination, trying to crank up the dead to get some answers from the witch of Endor. You try to crank up the dead, you're going to destroy yourself. Don't crank up the dead. How about Balaam? He was a true prophet of God. They executed him for practicing divination. Just because you started out well, you say, well, man, I want to hold on to some of this stuff I'm doing. I'm in deliverance, but I want to hold on to this. Because God showed me use crystals. God gave me a special word. He told me, the whole congregation, I'm the only one he told me to use this thing here and put a little ink on this crucifix and it'll work every time. Yeah, it's working. All right, it's working on you. And just because you started out well, and get saved and Jesus loved you, got the touch of the Lord touch you, doesn't mean that you'll end up that way. Balaam did, got his head chopped off. Yeah, and there are many There are many church people thinking today that they can operate in the gifts of God, but they have no character. Their head is cut off from their body. They're just driving the church with a physical body. And Jesus said you should know them by their fruit, not by their gifts. We got a problem right now in the immature part of the church. We want to follow people based on their gifts. Ooh, you got the gift. Pastor out there, he's dated everybody in the church. Well, God said it, you know, gifts and calling, whatever. That ain't what that Bible means. That's not what it means in the scripture. You go back and read that in context, it's talking about his call for Israel. He's going to bring in the Jews, whether you like it or not, his gifts and calling is without repentance. They ain't coming. Now, we're going to lose a third of them in the wars. Okay, when the wars go down in Armageddon. But he says he's going to bring them in. Preachers use that right now to justify their homosexuality and their bestiality and their adultery. They say, well, here's the call of God, call without repentance. It's not what it says. Go back and study that in context. Just read one chapter. Just read it in context. Say, oh, he's talking about he's going to bring the Jews in. Well, we like it or not, he's going to do it. Okay, well, anyway, so I'm not here to do it. That's a Bible correction class. But anyway, God wants to put a stop to this tonight. If you're here, you're in agreement with God, and he's going to deliver us tonight from this stuff, from your past, your present, and what others did to you, if you just simply participate. What about levitation? These table tipping games where people lift people up with their fingers. They're parlay games. And a lot of you Christians, unfortunately, because we got a video, and they're going to be hearing this tape at the home prayer meetings and so forth, a lot of you are in these Christian chain letters. You know, command me, God. If I send it to you, and you send it to five people, God will give you a blessing. What kind of manipulation con game is that? That's worse than a poker game. Go to the casino in Lake Charles, if that's what you want to do. You have to stand a better chance buying a lottery. I know y'all, I know a lot of y'all scratching too. You know, I'm going to leave that alone. Well, I'm going to give it to God. Yeah, you're going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to the devil already, though. I was overseas with some of my leaders. We're having a meeting, a private meeting with leadership. And I got that question. Pastor, I got this ticket, and I won. And they were sitting online. Some of them were lawyers and stuff. And because that's what most of that group was working with. And I looked at them. I put my head. I was tired. I had just did 5 days of conference. And I put my head. God gave me this. God is so awesome. I didn't even have this prepared. I put my head up like this. I say, give the 90 to God, keep the 10. And then I went on to the next question. I said, keep him healthy. I didn't have an answer, you know, because I wouldn't got an answer after that. I got a whole teaching on gambling. Okay, so would you give the 90? Well, don't even go buy a ticket. That's what you paid for. All right. Well, then you got astral projection, transcendental meditation. Those are like instant insanity, soul travel, mind control of all kinds, ESP, EST. These are all occult. When you go on a transcendental meditation, they tell you to say a little mantra. They want to kind of get your mind open there to hear from the deities. And you just kind of go blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, la, 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 because you're out in passive land. You know, and the demons just come right on in. And all of your God-given defenses is pulled down. You can possibly get this in some chanting. Chanting can be done by a number of different professions. So I'm going to limit my comments on that tonight. You just have to figure out what all chants. Who all chants. We on the battlefield, we chant. We ready to go. We get ready, ready, ready. And then right in the first line gets killed. And you say, oh, no. Yeah. So you got to figure out what chant. Touchdown! But anyway. All right, but anyway. So, it is going blah, 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 blah. And some of us pray like that. We need to talk to God. Just talk to God in prayer. Talk. You don't have to have a preconceived idea of what you're going to do. Just start talking. You hear the words, but you're going to pray the word anyway. Most of the time, I teach the word, and then all of you come tell me all the scriptures I didn't say. That's what I was talking about. And I said, well, damn good, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish that night. Well, how about you can almost do it also in the churches, you see, especially the charismatic churches, you know, when they sing that same verse 50 times. Oh, 50 times, 50 times, roll that bass guitar and drums. They rock and walk left to right, left to right. That beat is just right. It's like a hypnotic trance. And talk about the Holy Ghost is. And somebody walking out the back door, they say, I thought I was in a nightclub. Anybody go ask me for this? So back. Well, I don't know how I'm supposed to laugh at that, but it's kind of like a little funny. We don't really have anybody we can put our hands on that we can. I spent like 17 years studying music. I used to be a musician, and I finished a book a couple of years ago. I just haven't had the money to publish it because it's a little bit bigger than the regular books I've done. So I know a lot about music, not just in America, but I've studied other nations so that I can do a affiliation of the Caribbean, Africa, America, so forth, France, and all that. So what I'm saying is that's not something that I just remember seeing, even though vaguely I remember stuff 10, 20, 30 years ago. People didn't think it's the Holy Ghost. And then all of them rocking like this. They all got that rock. That demon having a field day for you. So, you don't even know what's going on. You got pastors. And the evil spirits come in. The church is introducing passivity to the church. And we don't want anybody passive in here, okay? Then there's hip-hop and drumming in the churches. And the rituals are mounting the people. And the people think it's the Holy Ghost. I was at a college teaching 20 years ago, I'll say. And this doctor was teaching. Her name was Sheila. And she was from Berkeley. Berkeley's known for music. Once again, I was studying music. And in her dissertation, to the class, she brought up the fact that the West Church, because she had lived down with the Brazilian people, she knew about common place, she knew about the Yoruba tribes, which I'm writing about, or I have written about. And she mocked the West Church. She said, they mocked the West Church. Yeah, I didn't talk. Can y'all imagine me talking like that? Yeah, I was born there. And they said, the West Church don't even know. When they open the doors of the church, that's when the demons mock the people. And so in voodoo and the cousin play and all these religions, they mock the people. And so you can tell when the Holy Spirit mounts, I ain't gonna say mounts, when the Holy Spirit touches, just, oh, man, Jesus Christ. You'd be so happy, right? And the person next to you, he got it too. Okay. Well, the real Jesus. Okay, but all right. All right, let's go a little further. I told you I had something that almost offended everybody. Were you ever involved in the Eastern religions? Now, I lived overseas 2.5 years in Japan, and I did everything you could do that was wrong. I mean, I was evil, okay? Or evil was in me because I wasn't a Christian. I'll put it like that. All right, so. Were you ever involved in Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, I Ching? Were you involved in Christian, Zen, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Rosicrucians, Theopathy, Unity, Metaphysics? I just want to call a few because somebody might say mine is okay. Baha, Scientology. Were you ever involved in inner peace movements, Spiritual Frontiers, Urantia, Moonies, Children of God? I was trying to win this movie, Moonie Child. At Walmart, and this guy got in my way. He's a minister. He fired up. But geez, I could see it all over because, you know, he had that smile. I was trying to talk to him about marriage, and that's what the movies do. You know, they set the marriage up, and I was telling him about me and my wife, how God put us together because the word of knowledge came forth in my heart. And the Lord said, behold thy wife. And I looked around and I saw my wife way back there, but I said, I just brought her over here for service. I don't know her. You know, in other words, we were friends, but I had 2 or 3 other friends. And she was at the front praying in tongues. I was in the back of a church. At a mega church, and the Lord said, behold my wife. I thought it was the pastor's daughter. But anyway, and so I was trying to tell her that, you know, how God does things without telling her anything about where she's coming from, ignoring that maybe I didn't know. And this guy came in there, and he just busted all in the door and took me out of the place like I was wrong, you know. I shouldn't be talking to her, you know, I was too aggressive, you know. But that was just me, you know, I just looked that way. But the lady didn't see that because she was looking at me in the spirit, okay, so. It wasn't any confrontation. She was just as meek as she could be. Moses, a real meek. Yeah. Well, Moses is all the meekest man in the world, too. Love God. The form, Islam, black Muslims, Mormons, the way, the wall, Kabbalah, and any other groups, and other groups using the Bible but denying the power or omitting the divinity of Christ. All of these groups, and there are many I didn't call, are powered by the occult. Yoga? Oh, there you go, Brother Jim. It's coming from the White House all the way to the storehouse. Every movement in yoga is designed to open your mind for the entrance of evil spirits and lust. Every movement. What'd you say, Brother Lamb? It feels so good. I said, well, it's just like the man got his foot leg cut off. About 6 months later, he reached out the bed and fall down. You know, he thought the leg was still there. Just for that moment. It feels so good, you know. Then you got karate, taekwondo, judo, kung fu, aikido, all of the martial arts.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.